Amen. Yeah. So today now we come to the church in Pergamos. So let's read Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 to 17. And to the angel of the church, Messenger of Pergamos, yes. These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balaam to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I will give him a white stone, and also a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Amen. 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 Yeah. The church in Pergamos is really known as the compromising church, right? The one that is married, as Pergamos means to be married to this world. And today we have to ask ourselves, really today, in this age and generation, how are we engaging with the world? How are we becoming compromised with the world around us? I was a little bit struggling with which area to share in this conference. One day I woke up and I looked at the outline and saw which meetings were already taken. And suddenly, it really clicked in me. Pergamos, well, it's really the danger that is in today's world. It's really the danger of compromising today when we are trying to build this golden lampstand before the Lord, being fully tainted with the world that's around us. The verse here where it says, where Satan's throne is, where Satan's throne is, this really struck me and had me considering before the Lord how it is before the Lord comes back. John chapter 12, 31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So today, this world is being ruled by Satan. He is controlling many things and driving many people against the will of God and ruling over how the ways of this world are. And so Satan's throne today is this world. Now, in this day and age, especially before the Lord comes back, according to the scriptures, this world will become more and more dark, more and more evil, more and more taken over. And so this word of Pergamos is actually very relevant for today's age, because it will be harder and harder to distinguish when the world is darker and darker. Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 30, maybe... John, can you read that for us? Luke 17, 26 to 30. Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 30.
26 to 30. And as it was in the days of Noah, yeah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man.
Yes.
They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until that day, mm-hmm. Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Mm-hmm. 28?
Yep, go ahead until 30.
Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, mm-hmm. they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, mm-hmm. they built.
Okay.
But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Mm-hmm. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Amen. So clearly in the scriptures, before the Lord comes back, when the day the Son of Man is revealed, the world will become more and more evil. It will become more and more like the days of Noah and of Lot, where everything is turned upside down. So Satan's throne is, in this sense, becoming stronger, gaining more strength before the Lord comes back and judges it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now in Pergamos, it really shows us that we should not be compromised or married to this world. Mm-hmm. Instead, the church, this golden lampstand, should be the beautiful, unblemished bride of Christ, pure and holy and set aside for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. We know this verse, but let's all read this together, because we need this picture always in our heart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Shall we read it again?
Yes, such a good verse.
That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. Yesterday with some of the older children, we were reading the verses on the lampstand and how it's made. Made from the nature of God, from this one piece of gold and hammered into perfection. Hammered to really have the nature of God and his resurrection life in the almonds. And today, the Lord really shows us he is trying to gain this glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, not any such thing. In a very dark and evil time, the Lord still wants to gain this glory, still wants to gain such a church. And unfortunately today, as we see in Pergamos, this point is really lost among many Christians today. They see compromise as a way to make it easier or more palatable or more popular for many Christians to believe. But instead, we should strive for a glorious church which is spotless, without wrinkle. Yeah. It is harder and harder to separate as the world and the world gets darker and darker, because we all do what is according to our surroundings. You know, many times I consider, even in the time of Noah and Lot, it did not start completely in evil, of course. But as evil abounds and people accept it, it starts to become more and more normal. And suddenly, it builds up until the point the Lord has to judge it. We adults like to think, you know, well, we won't compromise. We're not subject to peer pressure for adults, not like children. But somehow, in our hearts, it is there. And if we aren't careful, we will compromise God's house. We'll compromise to our flesh to make it easier or to make things more palatable for this world. And it's only a slippery slope. You may compromise on one thing one day, saying, well, it's just a small thing, no big deal. But if that is where your heart is, you will again and again choose to compromise, because you will keep on going further, thinking it's no big deal. We have to realize today that, as in the days of Noah and Lot, when the evil is building, the enemy is not sitting still. The enemy is not is not attacking us passively, but actively trying to attack the church, mm-hmm. trying to fight against the Christians, make it difficult for them, so that at the end they will compromise. Many times you hear how even the laws that are being made, right, are turning it so that if you're a Christian or you have these beliefs, maybe you can't adopt a children, right? A child. Right? That was something which was being put up in California. Right? So you have to consider that the world will continue to attack you. All your beliefs and everything that is regarding his house as the world gets darker and darker. Yeah. So then this is the example of Antipas, right? That as we shared, as was shared yesterday regarding being a martyr, right? That he did not love his soul life to death, but instead he would not compromise. He was one who held fast. James chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Yeah. Right? So today, we, if we do not want to compromise like they did in Pergamos, we have to realize that we will not be friends with this world. We will not be very popular. Yeah. But that is okay. We will instead be a friend and a... We will be a friend of God. Now then, here in this in these verses, it mentions these two doctrines of Balaam and of the Nicolaitans. It says, "I have a few things against you because you have... There are those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality." This Balaam really made the Jews back then conform because of money. He was seeking pay, he was seeking financial gain, and as a result, kept on pushing and allowing these things to happen. This today often happens in the church, right? Because if you are being paid to share the Lord's word, to do God's work, it is an incredible temptation that you would do and compromise according to what the world does. Because it is hard to be holy. Peter says that we should be holy as he is holy. And so if you are trying to be holy as he is holy, it is not easy for the flesh to accept. It is in fact offensive to every piece of our flesh. It's an offense to our flesh. And so if the flesh is warring against the spirit, as it says in Galatians, and there is this war between the flesh and the spirit, it is hard to earn money off of offending everyone, right?
That's right. Correct.
Yeah. So instead of saying what is offensive and holy before the Lord, you will just say things which make them feel good, mm-hmm. right? You will tell them, well, God is love and only love. God doesn't have judgment. God only loves you. Just come to the Lord, and when you die, you'll go to heaven. Right? You will always compromise because in order to make your living, it has to be palatable. And so the sharp two-edged sword of the spirit will become dull. Right? It will no longer cut between the flesh. It will simply slice a little bit only. Right? It's a compromise. And so we have to see today that this system of Balaam is really evil and it's from the enemy. Right? It's not a matter of being, you know, partially okay, at least maybe it tells people a few things, right? It teaches people a few things. But we have to see it really is not holy. It is from the enemy. Because at the end of the day, we will compromise what we speak. Today, you know, we are, amongst us, we are not collecting money to speak, let's say. But the lesson is still very clear here, that we should not simply speak what is more palatable to gain people, to do what is more palatable, but but wrong in the eyes of the Lord just to do it for man. I have a friend who sometimes we share the word with here and there when she comes. And I invited her, of course, to meet with us. And her comment or her feedback is, well, I want to go somewhere else because you guys are too Christian. Right? I want Christian light. You guys are Christian advanced. I want Christian light. Yes. What shall I say? Shall I say, well, you know, if it makes you feel bad, then maybe I should water down the word for you. Yeah. If we desire to follow the word, if we desire to build a golden lampstand before God, right, the impurities have to be burned away. We have to choose. We may not be perfect the minute we decide to believe in the Lord, but we have to have the desire and the heart. And we cannot compromise the word simply to make it easy to come to him, but we have to show the truth and teach the truth. You know, I was speaking to one of those sisters the other day, right? And the Catholics, they really minimized reading the word itself. And they kept the word separate from the people. But today, many Christians are no better, right? They say, well, you should not read Revelation. It's too difficult, right? It's unpalatable. It's confusing. Read the Gospels. It's easier for you. Today, we as his house, as his priests, we need to understand and to know him fully. To not make a compromise on his word, but to really fully go for him.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, if we simply compromise and make it palatable, it is really evil. I was reading in the news just the week before as I was preparing for this. The Catholic Church even now said they will bless same-sex unions. Right? They said, oh, but it's not, we won't do marriages, but we will bless same-sex unions. Yes. Not a marriage, right? Yeah. Well, maybe they will have some more funding as a result. Yeah. Frankly, right? Maybe they will have more funding as a result. But at what cost, right? At what cost shall we damage God's holy priesthood and his holy temple. Yeah. Teaching what is right will only lead us to poverty, if that's where we are funding from. Right? Teaching the truth will not be popular in this world. So this is why the Lord is so against this doctrine of Balaam. Now here in the other part it says regarding this doctrine of Nicolaitans, and this is really about the clergy and the laity. Yeah, and this is also very unfortunate that today many Christians have embraced such a doctrine that there should be clergy, those who are raised above, and there should be laity, right? Those who are less, just receiving, lazy, lazy, right? Just participating, right? And this is also really evil before the Lord, because even as we read at the very beginning of Revelation, it says, we all should be kings and priests before our God and Father. So now to believe that there are some that are just laity is really to diminish God's role for his people. So maybe we can read 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Emmanuel, can you read that for us nice and loud? 1 John chapter 2, verse 27.
Mm-hmm. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need anyone to teach you. As the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in
you. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We have this anointing which we have received from him, which abides in us. Yeah. And this anointing is powerful and willing, right, and able to teach us all things.
Yes.
Yeah. We have the one, the spirit of the one who is from the beginning until the end, the Alpha and the Omega, right? Which is much longer than any formal education in the Bible, right? From the beginning until the end. So this anointing we have today makes it so that we can share in the same spirit. We can share in the full knowing of the Lord, of what He desires to speak today. Right? I was very encouraged, my son Micah was giving an offering yesterday regarding turning and reading the Word. You know, many times I said, oh, you should read your Bible more. But really, just one day, he just decided, right? I want to read the Word more. So instead, before going to bed, he sat there by himself, and he would just sit there reading for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, quietly, silently.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Who taught him? You know. I can only say praise the Lord, right? The Lord is really this anointing. Right? He's able to teach us and to guide us to all things. Right? We should not look to others and say, well, they are priests. Right? I'm not a priest, as many do in this world. Yeah. One of my neighbors one time told us, Stefan, you know, you should be a pastor, right? You're like a priest, right? We should say, you also should be a priest, right? You believe in the Lord? The Lord has assigned you. You are a priest. Right? We all together are priests before our God and Father. We have the same anointing. And He's equipping us too, as we can read in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Adrian, can you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17?
All scripture is given by profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. Amen. Right. We are all together today, by His word, by His scripture, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Right. So we have the anointing, we have the scripture which equips us, we have the complete ability to serve the Lord as His priest today, if we desire it. So today this doctrine of clergy laity is really evil before the Lord. It's really putting down the saints, putting down His people. Yeah, we really need to treasure this. We aren't today just assigned to a job. We shouldn't say, well, what was your role in this conference? And, you know, we go to that board and we say, oh, I'm wiping down door handles. Right, on Tuesday I'm going to wipe down door handles. That's my job before the Lord. That's my holy service. Right. Yeah, it seems silly, but frankly, it is how things are done many times today. There was a brother which I was having some fellowship with, and he was assigned to play basketball with children every Sunday. He would just play basketball with kids at some point where he was. There's the inner court where they're really in the presence of the Lord, the outer courts where they're preparing things, and I guess here there's also the basketball court, right? Just playing with the children. Right? It's not really a problem of playing basketball or not. That's not really the issue. But if we ask, right, how shall we serve the Lord? And the answer is, well, just help the kids play basketball every Sunday. Right? We really should ask ourselves, right? Today, have we put in such a laity mindset? There's some clergy who will do the holy things, and the laity will just take care of and receive and do menial tasks. Right? We today, as His priests, we should want to experience every facet of God in our daily life, to draw near to God each and every day, to serve God completely in every avenue in His house. It should not be a matter of being assigned some job or just doing that, but each of us should go before the Lord and ask Him, right? Without permission, right? We should ask God for permission. What shall we do before You? Right? asking and seeking him that we would serve our living God together.
Amen.
Yeah. So this really is the danger of this Nicolaitans, this clergy and laity. We have to see today clearly. We all together are priests for his purpose. Now, he says, how do we turn? Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So the Lord will speak to us and is trying to speak to us, trying to get us to repent right now, trying to bring us away from these worldly practices. And we need to be those who really resist the temptation to compromise God's house. Yeah. Well, what is the reward? Hidden manna. Yeah. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Yeah. The first manna was given to them for sustaining them every day. But I bet the hidden manna is even more fulfilling. Right? It's something which the Lord hasn't shown us clearly yet, but it's something that can fill us more richly. Right? Yeah. He says this because even in this day where we are not friends with the world, we may be lacking. We may be those who are feeling like we are missing or because we don't want to compromise. But when he returns, he will give us such a rich supply, right? A hidden manna. And here also it says he will give us a white stone. And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. I really enjoyed this verse too. So it means also that he will give us a new identity, a new being going forward, a new role, a new membership, yes. Right. You know, if you're about to quit some job and you give your 2 weeks notice, those last 2 weeks you have no connection or care, in a sense, for the welfare of the company you are leaving, right? It's okay, well, I will try to be nice and help out, but you know, I'm not going to be responsible for what they do 2 months from now, right? Yeah. We today, if we know the Lord is coming, if we know that he desires to come quickly, maybe we don't have just 2 weeks left, thankfully. But we should also have such a sense that we will transition soon. We will move away from this current identity, this current life that we have, right? And we will be given this white stone with a new name, right? We are waiting for such an entry into this kingdom. We aren't building what is in this world that we would be popular or friends with this world. But we will be those who really see that mentally we have already quit and we're ready to move on to our new. We are ready to move forward and move on to his house and his kingdom. So may the Lord really help us to really be as the overcoming ones in Pergamos, not compromising with this world. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.